before we just kind of launch questions and conversation that way, though, we wanted to have staff give us a little bit of an update of where are we, what is coming before the board, and what are the questions and the issues that are already being considered and dealt with by staff in conjunction with individual board members as we move toward the hearing. And then we'll open it up and see if there's anything we're missing. If there's anything we're missing that we should be thinking through. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Marty and Axel. I think Marty's going to start us off.
Good afternoon, commissioners. There's a larger 11 by 17 table that I provided for folks. And what I've done is to set kind of the baseline condition here, where the title of this is a comparison of current fee waiver resolution and then the proposed jobs creation resolution. If you look at the top, there's the section number, the section title, the current resolution, which is resolution 2013-02-18, the proposed resolution, which has job creation resolution 2013, that's the one that was in front of the board May 7. And then the far right-hand column clarifies the differences between the current and the proposed. You'll see in section 3, both current and proposed, section 3 is the applicability section. And the difference between the current and the proposed is that the proposed resolution would eliminate the 50% waiver for commercial projects that are primarily retail, would eliminate the job creation requirement or number, and that churches and nonprofit-related projects become eligible applications. That's the difference between the proposed and the current. Under Section 4, both roughly are titled Commencement of Construction and Job Creation. The language that's in italicized is the proposed language. There, the difference between these two sections, the proposed resolution actually clarifies and differentiates between tenant improvements and new construction. The proposed resolution eliminates the hiring and retaining of the 10 employees, and the proposed resolution defines diligently pursuing construction with reasonable inspection timelines. This is where it gets a little interesting. The section numbers and what they're dealing with change. The current resolution has section 5 as a remittance of waived fees. The proposed resolution would eliminate this and would add language in section 6. The replacement language in the proposed resolution provides no remittance of the waived fees. The next two sections are kind of a light gray or green shade. They both deal with the fully funded transportation improvement program section. In the proposed resolution, it's section 5. In the current, it's section 6. The difference is that the TIF obligation shifts to the county together with a supplemental budget action. That's the proposed. And the road fund reimbursement would not incur until after the two-year period of hiring and retaining the 10 employees. That's what the current resolution requires. The new section 6 under the proposed resolution provides for abandoned developments. It replaces, again, the current section 5, and it replaces language where failure to satisfy the requirements of the proposed resolution or failure to diligently pursue construction would result in forfeiture of the approval, and the applications that are tied to that phase are deemed abandoned and expired. The back part, the two light blue sections are the termination sections. Current resolution has a date certain, December 31, 2013. And the proposed would have the board review this within 60 days after the unemployment rate for covered employment in Clark County is lower than the state of Washington. And then the last is under new Section 7 of the proposed resolution, we would have a program monitoring and automatic review of the resolution. So it would add a monitoring and reporting requirement to share with the Board of County Commissioners. So you can look through the columns, current resolution and proposed resolution, for the details. I've taken much of the actual language from the adopted current resolution and then the proposed resolution. When you get to sections four and on down, the italicized text is the language for the proposed resolution. Axel has been compiling a list of questions, comments, concerns, issues, and he'll share that with you.
Thanks, Marty. Good afternoon, Commissioners. So just to summarize, this is actually a great spreadsheet, but basically Section 3, Section 5, and Section 8, those are the major changes from last year's waiver to this year's. Section 5 opens it up to a whole lot more developments. That's the big expansion. Section 3, it's a small language change, but it's critical because what it does is it backfills the TIF with road fund, which we'll have some mechanical questions about that later. And then Section 8, the termination, is another major difference because now the resolution would only terminate once we're below or at the state unemployment rate. Okay, so there was a document I put back there. I don't know if I made enough copies, but since May, it's dated May 14th. I guess that's when I started it. But I tried to create a list that's certainly not exhaustive of the questions and concerns we've got about this current fee waiver proposal, both from the public, from staff, and from you as elected officials. And so I basically created four categories. There's financial questions, there's process and legal questions, there's questions we've received from other local jurisdictions about how this will impact them, and then there's resolution language or policy questions. I think the financial questions we are largely responsible for answering as a staff, and we've struggled with some of those. The ones that I would highlight, and you can read all of these that are on the list, and I'm sure we'll get to some of them, but specifically around TIF, the waiver of TIF, and how we either replace or don't replace the TIF revenue that is waived. And the three specific ones I want to mention is how that will impact our ability to apply for grants at the state level, how that will impact our current TIF credit program that we have. And then the other one is what we found mechanically is if we were to backfill TIF money, which is set aside into a specific private TIF account for a individual TIF district, if we backfill that with road fund, what we're doing basically is taking a very good revenue source because it's very flexible in the road fund, and we're putting into a very specific account where it's for a specific district for a specific project. So we're basically taking the flexibility out of road fund. So as a policy matter, do we want to do that?
Excellent. I'd like to just mention regarding that, Chris Corn has spent a lot of time on this, and I believe he has a more flexible solution for that. Chris, would you want to participate in this?
Certainly.
Yeah, and I think if I will. Now, so just the other three areas, just to finish up, I think we've largely answered the process and legal questions for the GMA process that's required. Other jurisdictions, we may or may not get into that today, but we have had some correspondence with other cities and jurisdictions about how this would impact them. Section 4, the policy and language questions, you can read through those. Those are largely going to be answered, I think, by the Board of Commissioners through amendments to the resolution on June 11th with input from the public and you all. So you can read through those, but they're just some general questions that we fielded. So,
thanks, Matt.
Chris, I'll turn it over to you.
Certainly. Good afternoon, Commissioners. To address the issue,
No.
Typically I have one of those voices that everybody in the world can hear, but in the interest of caution. To put it in context, it's easier to explain what this change will, how this change can be accomplished. The issue regarding the taking away the flexibility of road funds and paying it into specific TIF districts by looking at what happens if we don't increase our TIF fees in any particular year, or if we don't.
That's
good.
It's a
symbiotic relationship. What happens if we don't increase our TIF fees in any particular year, or if we exempt any particular project? And the effect is, that the money we don't collect becomes part of a public share, and it becomes a county obligation to pay those funds, and just as if we didn't have a TIF program or if we had adopted it a couple of years later. So if we take and rather than pay money in any given year for the projects that are exempted, which is a process that's authorized by state law, and we move it over into the public share, it would be treated just as if, or in the same way as we currently treat projects where the county should have built infrastructure years ago and couldn't afford, didn't get around to, or wasn't a high enough priority to construct now. So those moving this money in or leaving this money in the jet or in the road fund will allow it to be used as needed. And when projects are done in a particular district, we will at that time take money out of the road fund and build those projects. We can dedicate it when we need it, leave it flexible while we want it to remain in that category, and still accomplish our obligations under the capital facilities plan and growth management. So I think we can meet our restrictions or our obligations under growth management. We can comply with this resolution and still allow the board a little more flexibility in how you go about getting from point A to point B in the meantime.
So that's one hypothetical solution to one of the financial issues that's been raised. More than anything, all of these potential amendments, all of the issues that are being raised are hypothetical at this point. More than anything else, I think we're hoping to figure out, are there issues that aren't on the list, things that that you would like us to be thinking about as we go into our hearing deliberation? Because until we actually get into the hearing and hear from the public and have that opportunity to deliberate together on this, it's all just potential at this point. So at this point, just would open up to you as elected officials, let us know what are we missing that we might want to think about as we are preparing for this hearing coming up.
Can I just make a point? When it comes to the TIFs, do I understand correctly, Chris, that the TIFs right now that we're waiving under the current program pulls money out of the general fund and puts that into the TIF? In other words, pulling from the general fund and putting in the TIF, not the road fund.
No, under the current ordinance as written, the money would be paid from the road fund. It could be paid from the general fund, but it was contemplated that it would be paid for by the road fund because, number one, it's a road construction project, and number two, that fund is better able to accommodate that need than is the general fund. So.
Oh, you're talking about the fee holiday. We aren't forgiving TIFs yet, but we've forgiven the fee holiday or the fee holidays. That has come out of the general.
Okay. Well, what we're talking about is the fee. In other words, the second column here is the fee holiday that's in place now, as we're calling it.
Right? Correct.
Right. And that backfills the TIF fees from the general fund.
The current resolution. If we're waiving traffic impact fees, it was contemplated that the road fund would be the backfill for that lost revenue. Other fees, building fees, development fees, would be covered by the general fund.
That's how that's
the current resolution.
The one that's in place today with the 10 job requirement.
That's what we're calling the fee holiday.
Correct.
What we have in place today uses the general fund.
For building and development fees.
For building and development, but not for TIFs.
Correct.
Got it. Okay.
All right. I think I'd like to emphasize that what we have roughly 10 amendments between the three of us, not counting what's on this list, and in instance of being out here before midnight, we probably would like to hear some of those things that are not on the list that we can address. I don't think we're going to solve them today.
No, just identifying the issues, and then we can work with staff to get better information.
Please, yes.
I'm just curious, again, how many jobs are you going to create from this effort?
We don't know that. We
don't know that either.
So either.
We've got a lot of hypotheticals going on here.
Right, the budget office put together a model, and that model showed what about 4,000 jobs was the middle of the road curve.
Yeah, and you know, Commissioner, actually since that time, we've refined that model some, so to be fair to all of the elected officials, I better get back to you. Because that didn't distinguish between jobs that were already been created.
Right.
We could have backed it out. We have that number. It's not right in front of us.
Yeah, I'd also point out that as I understand the study that the budget office did, wasn't based on any assumption that this would create jobs. It was simply backing into how many jobs would have to be created to make this fee waiver, to pay off the fee waiver, to make the fee waiver economically neutral to the county. So there wasn't any, just to say it again, there wasn't any assumptions in there that said, if we do this, it will create jobs. It was simply a mathematical exercise that said, how many jobs do we have to create? And then there's some assumptions about the revenues that come from those jobs. How many jobs have to be created to, in effect, pay off this fee waiver? Exactly opposite of what you really asked, Commissioner, of how many jobs will this create, or how many Treasurer Laster asked.
Good point. So at this point, we don't know.
Good question. Other issues and questions that aren't, you know, addressed within these documents that we might need and want to get more information on going here?
Well, this is more of a general comment. It actually covers lots of territory. It just deals with the general fund potential loss of revenues. In talking to our bank, they're forecasting that there'll be another downturn because of the sequestering going on at the federal level. And I think we'll be continuing having tough times over depending on what Congress is going to be doing for a number of years. So the effort on this, it's, I think, bigger than what we're doing. I think we may have more of an impact on what we're trying to do as mandated services in this going down this route.
If I could just paraphrase what you heard, basically what you indicated is that the banks are forecasting another economic downturn, and so therefore we should be financially conservative to make sure that we have enough reserves in order to weather that storm.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Mr. Gerlich asked me to come speak with you here today. He's currently in the middle of an aggravated murder case and just couldn't get away to talk. But he and I spoke at some length last Friday afternoon about the fee waiver and his concerns about it. And what I'd like to do is summarize those for you. Our office has been involved in discussions with other elected officials and department heads and members of the budget office about long-term budgetary planning for the 15-16, and the guidance that we've been given at this point is that we're going to be receiving a flat budget, which in essence means that we're going to be facing 4-5% cuts in our budget because the budget doesn't reflect these sort of increasing costs that we simply can't control. Our concern is that it appears that a majority of the Board of Commissioners at this point is oriented toward voting in favor of the fee waiver. And as we view it, what that's going to do in conjunction with your previous decision to waive some parking fees is to decrease the revenue flow coming into the county. Well, we understand that Commissioner Lewis believes that there's going to be a deferred economic growth that's going to be created as a result. But we're also concerned that there may be a lag in that growth, and that lag may be last for a significant period of time. If that's the case, then we'll be in a deficit sort of situation where the money coming in is not going to meet the budgetary projections. And then rather than face a 4-5% cut, we may face greater cuts on top of that. And speaking only from my office in this regard, we are at capacity right now. In each of the last two biennials, we have taken cuts, although they've been modest cuts. We've been facing an increase in workload, but receiving less resources from the county in each of the two biennial cycles. Currently, we're facing an increased workload in terms of increasing felony filings. We have problems with having had the support staff to do a lot of work we need. In fact, right now we're trying to free up support staff to process our full intake as it comes in. And we're receiving feedback pretty much from our whole office that we are at capacity. So in talking to Mr. Bullock, we simply don't believe we're in a position to pay the cut from our budget and to accomplish our statutory mandated needs. So what Mr. Bullock would like to consider is simply the question he had for me, and the question we pose to you is, if in fact the economic growth that I think Commissioner McGuire predicts does not occur, and if there is a deficit in the budget, what does the board plan on doing to address that? And what sorts of cuts are going to be made? Because, as I say, right now our planning guidance is 4-5%. And that's based on what I understand to be the current income flow coming into town. If you make conscious decisions to cut that revenue flow, it's going to change that model. And since 70% of the general fund goes to salary and benefits, really what this adds up to is either laying off people eventually or through workforce planning, which is what we've been talking about, not filling vacancies as they occur. Well, the workforce planning idea is a great idea, and I think county administration and HR for getting us this sort of long range perspective. But it still means fewer people to do fixed work for increasing the amount of work. And if in fact there is not a plan to backfill the decreases in revenue, that would have to be our recommendation to not vote for these people, because we foresee a situation where we're going to have to absorb additional cuts in many of their offices. So I'm only speaking for our office. We feel we just can't absorb those types of cuts and carry out our mandated functions.
Okay, so the concerns with decreases in revenues and the associated levels of services that you would be able to provide, that's definitely something we can look into and get more information about the financial implications on both sides of the equation. What lag might we be looking at in potential revenues, and how much revenue are we talking about? Glenn, you had something you wanted to add on this? Or?
You can bring up the idea of forecasted revenues. I think everybody around the table should be clear. The model right now is built on current policy, so there are no assumptions for increased revenues in the model. So the answer to your question is what will happen if we don't get the revenue is what we see. So I think it's really important to make that point, because Commissioner Rendon, understanding how compelling he is, we have not put his assumptions in for increased revenue. In fact, we haven't even yet loaded the assumptions for the cuts that will happen. But I don't want anybody thinking we've got a bunch of revenue assumptions loaded in on top of this. And Commissioner Rendon, or no one else has asked for that.
Well, I'm kind of concerned what kind of a message does it really send. My background is in marketing. A key point of marketing is what you go and you price your product at. As none of you guys drive the cheapest car that's out there, you guys have felt that it's worth the extra money to spend. And it would seem like that maybe if we took these revenues and we used these revenues rather than cutting them, to actually invest in getting how great Clark County is out there and put the fees at the right level and actually win and show that we have value and that we're not going to go out there and try to be a low-cost provider, but we're actually going to be a quality provider of where people want to come and build their business, that would be perhaps a better model. Most of the contractors I talk to say they're willing to pay fees, they just want them to be at the right spot, and they want to see that we're actually investing in helping them work through the process of developing the county.
Peter, in other words, you're recommending that there an alternative to stimulate our economy here would be to market the county better, advertise. Is that what you're saying?
Well, what I'm saying is when you go and you put your prices at zero, what's kind of the message that you're sending out there, that you don't truly believe in your product? When you go and you have a quality product, you know what, you go out there and you ask a fair price. And I think, the county is really our product. And I think developers want to see that we're out there, the fees are a fair price, and what they're actually doing. We're actually investing in the things that will actually make it so that their investment returns, you know, value. They want to see that they're, they want to know more that their permits are going to get done in a timely basis. You know, I mean, for the Packer District, if there's new construction, they want to make sure that, you know, my office is sufficiently staffed that we can pick that up and get it on the tax rolls. And so I think rather than just completely cutting, it's best to make sure that we have the right fees, you know, for the market. You know, the market somewhat decides, and, you know, typically when you're out in the market, you don't put your price down to zero unless you don't have a good product.
In other words, you're thinking that we might be sending the wrong message if we say our permit fees have gone to zero, so therefore we devalue our area. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, correct. I mean, I think it kind of sends me the message that, you know, we're not going to invest in this area. We're not going to have the funds. And especially when I know a number of my fellow elected officials, they're concerned about budget when their money's coming. You know, I think we need to find, you know, if we're going to go and reduce fees out there, when we find the cost out there that we can cut, we reduce those cuts, and then if we have excess revenues, that's the time to sit there and say, okay, maybe we, you know, reduce fees. But I mean, I believe the people that are coming to Clark County, they're coming for reasons, and they're developing for reasons other than what our development fees are. And I don't think that someone's just going to say, hey, I was going to build here, and now I'm going to move to Clark County because their development fees are zero. If they were going to do that, they would probably be in, you know, South Dakota or Mississippi or other regions. I don't think people come to this region because they're expecting it to be, you know, the lowest cost being provided for government.
So other issues that we might be wanting to think through as we move to hearing on the 11th that haven't been covered already.
I'd like to sort of follow up on John's comment and other concerns that we have. I'm still trying to get a handle from the board in terms of what you look at as mandated services in the vision of what your plan or where's the baseline for mandated services. I know that as a county treasurer, about 30% of my business is with the county. I have to provide services to all the taxing districts. Those are mandated by Olympia and by statute. And we all operate by the mandates by the state, because we're agents of the state. So there's a point where if you can't really go beyond providing those mandated services. We're required by law to do that. So I've never seen where that balance is. So we have to have elections. We have to do assessing. We have to provide for law and justice. And the other fact, too, is that 30, I don't know, probably back in history, but 34 years ago, I mean, our law and justice part of the general fund was probably around 40% or 30%, somewhere in there. Now it's up to 70%. In Yakima County, it's 80%. I don't see, well, I know that they're not doing things that they need to be doing, and if they were had a performance audit, they probably failed.
This morning we had another work group on the reorg and what we were going and how we were going to do it. We recognize it's not across the board, and our staff has done a fantastic job cutting back, and under the reorg, we've actually been in part of the system already, and our staff has already reduced and done other programs. We've done the lean program, we've done the reorg program. We've delayed restaffing people as they've left or retired. So we've already been doing this, and we recognize that law and justice and other things are fixed costs or increasing costs. We recognize that. So it's not across the board to cut. But I'm always amazed that we're so concerned about asking for a 3-4% cut when we're real quick to step up and take a 3-4% a year increase in our pay. And we were quick to do that, but we're a little bit reluctant to reduce our overhead. So part of our problem is the wages salaries and benefits that we have. That's part of what we're trying to address.
And so, good conversation. And so, kind of back, I'm going to try to refocus a little bit on as far as the impact fee resolution and the job creation resolution that is being proposed that we'll be hearing on the 11th. Are there other issues that you all see that we need to be thinking through and getting information on for the hearing on the 11th?
Did you have any questions regarding the letter that I had sent? Or okay,
it's definitely in the packet of information that we're that we're using.
We've done some analysis and the cost that it's going to get the job.
Questions because they're hypothetical. Our increase or saving is hypothetical. If we do nothing, how many jobs will we lose? If we do nothing, how many jobs will we gain? We don't know those, but we are looking to do something to improve that. We're looking to put a carrot out there for all these developments that are sitting out there on the sideline to take hold today instead of 2 years down the road. We like to stimulate the economy today and not 2 years from now.
Right, if I can say something too. There's really 3 points I'd like to be able to make. One is the speed, the ease, the simplicity of getting permits. That is the focus, that is our primary goal here. Because we're not trading off one for the other. We have to be able to do both. We've had a number of reminders that in developers' eyes, quite often it's the case of I'd rather pay more and get it faster. So time is very important, and it has to be our focus regardless of what we do. And that's what's in the works. Probably the second or third time this week that I mentioned that Marty's lead in making that happen to totally revamp how they do business in their department. Just simply reconstructing a whole area so it's business friendly, so that they focus on making the customer successful. That is an important part of that. The second point I'd like to make is that we are not decreasing our commitment to build infrastructure. We are increasing our commitment to build infrastructure. We're not saying we're not going to charge you, so we're not going to build. That'd be a false premise. The infrastructure, the Growth Management Act that says we have to build infrastructure to responsibly grow when we do grow, we are keeping that commitment. If the TIPS, for instance, was the primary source of funding for our road fund, then we wouldn't have much flexibility. But the TIPS are a small percentage of the road fund. And keep in mind that we are not waiving TIPS for residential. We are waiving TIPS for the job creation, the business, the economic engine, so that we can get things going. Those are two key points. The third point I'd like to make is that we as stewards, we hear you all along, and we're not looking at a long-term course that we're not going to pay attention to. We will be watching, and there will be one of the advantages that I hope to build into this would be when someone applies for a permit for any kind of business development, then let me see in that application, how many jobs does that represent? And hopefully we'll get an honest answer on that, because they're not rewarded on the number of jobs. Right now our program says, you make sure that you do 10, so guess how many 10s we get? Lots of 10s. But this is basically informational to us, which is would give us a very good indicator, feedback right away, how successful is this program? Because it tells us. The people who are actually building tell us. And if we end up 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 months, whatever down the road, we'll be watching this. We'll be able to gauge all along if we're succeeding or not succeeding. And we can change that. We can say, well, I guess the experiment failed, we can stop it. Or this is a very successful venture that many of the other counties around the state want to know, how in the world did you turn Clark County around? And so really it's priming the pump and to see whether or not water comes out. It's so easy for us to consider our interests here as deriving our income from the county, when a perspective, the reason that we're here is the county community that we serve. They are the ones that are hurting. They are the ones that are trying to set the conditions so they can get back to work, so they can have jobs. And we will benefit, if they get back to work and those jobs actually happen, then we won't have to do cuts. And instead, we'll have increased income, better services provided, and the residential market will follow, which does create plenty of tips.
Well, I guess one of my concerns always is the government costs the same and you're not taking funds from one group, that means you're taking funds from another group, whether it's from the general fund, the general taxpayers. Unless the overall cost of the government is going down, those fees are coming from someone else. So it's really just a shifting, it's like our property tax system, the way it works here, right? One person pays less, someone else is paying more to make up because we're bringing in the budget. And so it's always a matter of shifting who's paying. And so unless there's an actual reduction in the cost of Clark County government by reducing the fees, we're really just shifting the cost onto some other fee payer or taxpayer.
I think we need to go back. I want to emphasize that I'd like to hear ideas that we may have overlooked. I'm not here to have a big sell. So the product, I'm here to hear the problems that we may not have looked at.
So one of them we can look at certainly is as far as covering the cost. Is there something that we can place within this to help lower the overall cost and so that it isn't being shifted? That's something that certainly we can look at. It's something I wrote down. It's something we can look at with as a potential amendment or just as a thought to be thinking about.
But that would be recognized by anticipated sales tax increase.
Potentially, that's one way of doing it. Yeah.
And that's what we're making sure.
Yeah, that's what we've got to figure out. So other thoughts on issues that we need to be taking into account, that we need to get more research on as we approach the 11th?
Just an amendment.
Yeah, and don't feel like this is the only, obviously, I mean, you know where to find us, and so, if there are other thoughts that you have, other ideas that you have about how we might make this a better proposal moving forward, certainly we'd love to hear it. So, this is something that is an ongoing, and Axel, you had something you wanted to
add. Yeah, I don't want to put anybody on the spot, Mr. Chair, but there's a representative from the City of Battleground here. I won't put Mr. Mall on the spot, but in your correspondence packet, I have put together a number of things for you. We have received a letter from the City of Washougal, so I won't put him on the spot, but that may be something we want to address today. There have been cities that wondered how this would impact them.
Well, we've got information being gathered on that, and certainly we'll be feeding that back and forth. I don't we won't put you on the spot as far as having to add to it.
Yeah,
we do have information that was provided by you, but the letter that we got from Washougal, that's certainly going in our deliberations individually, and certainly will also collectively go into our deliberations as to how we can be the most responsible possible.
Actually, I read the response in the paper.
What you want to do
all the small cities.
Oh, gotcha. So, other thoughts, other issues to develop as of right now or as of today, leading toward the 11th? Hearing none, then.
Well, we have an opportunity for people to voice. This is the time to make sure that we understand any of the unintended consequences and make sure that we're informed of any of your concerns.
Well, and just to be clear, this isn't the only time. I mean, between now and the 11th, we're certainly open to hear from them, and they have every right as a citizen to come in and speak in a public hearing on the 11th as well.
They're very generous of you.
I have an amendment.
I was going to cut off.
I have an amendment that's going to do 30-day monitoring of it, and even in that little short window. So it will be up and down. We're probably more responsive on a quarterly basis. But it does have a monitoring resource to it. And we have very limited funds in which we could wave this carrot out there, and that's the monitoring. And those we've made up from the general fund and those priorities and the savings that we've done.
I just wonder, do we have a comparison of what our rates are compared to other counties across the state and Pacific Northwest area?
We do, but we can get make sure we have that information available for us.
They're not all equally, I'll tell you.
In fact, it's one of the things that Marty did. He went out and looked at our traffic impact fees versus other processes other communities have and felt do a SEPA review and it's absorbed in there. I think sometimes when you put it out there individually, it stands up like a sore thumb.
So I previously shared my thoughts with you on this subject, and I won't bore you with repeating that again today. But I am interested to learn more about this idea of measuring success. And I just maybe you could share with us more of what your thoughts are, what you specifically would think about in implementing a success measurement tool, and how would that work?
The impact on the general fund is what I see it. We have flexibility in the general fund to do this either on the short term or long term, depending upon the response that we get and any increase that we might
expect
right away. I don't see it happening overnight. I think it takes a long time to get a project started, and you have to plan for it, and you have to go to the finance company, and you have to have the architect and the people draw it up. I don't think we'll see it overnight.
Well, I certainly agree you won't see it overnight, but I think during the discussion you were talking about measurement on a monthly or perhaps a quarterly basis. So again, any specific thoughts you have on that measurement tool would be something I'd be interested to learn more about.
Absolutely.
So sure, and just some of those metrics, what are the parameters? One would be the number of jobs that are brought to us.
So on one side you have the amount of money that the general fund has subsidized community development for these fees, right?
Yeah, so we have the dollar amount that we're supplementing.
And then so full year, we're talking about $1.5 million, roughly. So on a quarterly basis, that's $400,000. So $400,000 out of the general fund, that's the one side. And what's the other side?
Well, the general fund supplements is one of those. The number of dollars that we're waiting for TIF fees is another.
Well, that's the road fund, but...
Yeah,
okay.
Well, that counts.
It does, absolutely. Let's think for a moment just about... Most folks around this table are interested in the road fund. But yeah, everyone here.
Mainly you're concerned with the general fund.
Well, specifically at this point in time, let's just talk about the general fund. So $400,000 a quarter out of the general fund. Mm-hmm. That's one side.
Yeah. And the other
on a quarterly
side
basis
are people put back to work. I assume everybody around this table is also interested in that.
So when we talk about people put back to work, we're talking about people put back to work at any kind of job.
Yeah.
And how do you measure that?
Every job counts.
So how do you measure that?
We're looking at construction, first of all. If you're looking at a building, you have to do the architect, the engineering, the construction,
okay, so
all trades that create that employment.
So assuming this goes into effect, let's just say June 30th, into the second quarter. To get to September 30th, you've got $400,000 out of the general fund to community development. What's the metric that you talk about jobs? So what is that? What's the metric? What are you going to look at and say, okay, this was successful in terms of the number of jobs? What are you going to look at?
We're going to look at how many people are employed now as a result. When they apply for their permit, they'll indicate this is. I'm assuming that we're not. I guess we could look at the number of jobs for the transition, but those are temporary jobs for construction. What we're looking at is the number of people that are put back to work because these are businesses that are going to be starting up or expanding. And I expect one of the quickest thing that's going to happen are those empty buildings or those shells that are out there that are already up that basically need people to move in, do their upgrades, and then start their little business.
Okay, so from July 1 to September 30, mm-hmm. you're going to be doing something to say, these are the jobs. What are you going to look at to say, these are the jobs? This is the number of jobs that are now in Clark County that weren't here on July 1.
I think you just answered your own question.
Well, no, I didn't. What information are you going to look at to say, here are the number of jobs now that were not here then?
Well, the permit applicants.
Permit applicants, that's not a job. That's just somebody saying they hope to have this many jobs. That's not a job.
Right. Unemployment rate.
Okay, you can look at unemployment rate? Is that going to be a measure of success?
Yeah, if you start construction, I would think we'll see it by September. I think people will still be...
Well, it's your program. I'm just asking you.
Yeah.
You talked about measurement of success. So we're just trying to understand what it is you're going to do to determine this is successful. You said you wanted to look at it on a monthly or quarterly basis. So I'm just trying to understand.
Sure. There are short-term and there are long-term indicators.
And so an unemployment rate is certainly one piece of information you can look at. Is that what you're thinking about?
Unemployment rate, sales tax increase.
Okay, so sales tax.
And I think that we're going to see that. I don't think that we're going to have a big boom and we're going to see a $400,000 upside down thing in the general fund. It's not going to happen that quick. I'd love to have it happen that quick. I would love to see the development of about seven of those development sites that we have out there that's on hold right now, we'd like to think that that carrot might be enough to go out there and still do the construction work.
Well, and as I said on the public hearing, I certainly agree and endorse and wholeheartedly support the idea of increasing jobs here in Clark County. And again, as I said that evening, I do think that we need jobs and businesses that bring in revenues from outside of the community much more than we need increased retail opportunities. Although I certainly will also agree that to the extent you mentioned this morning, Commissioner Madore, that there are many retail opportunities outside of this county that cause people to spend the money outside of the county. So if this resolution were targeted at retailers who don't currently have a presence in this county, that's something I could support, as well as, in addition to the idea of creating incentives for businesses that bring in revenues from outside the county. Simply building another Chuck's Produce or another McDonald's or another Starbucks, another Walmart, does not increase the wealth of this community, does not increase the average median income in this community. So, just as a
observation. It's just an unincorporated area, because the cities, mm-hmm. they have different homes.
Okay.
So, I just, it sounds like the idea of a success measurement is something that sounds like a great idea, and I certainly endorse it, but I'm not hearing that it's been really very well thought out. So I'd encourage you
to develop it. We know on the 11th, and we'll look forward to that.
Let me just offer a few parameters that we think that would be easy for us to just simply use as indicators. One would be, of course, the number of employees that would be specified by the applicant. The other would be the square footage that would be added or put into service. The other would be the cost of the development. So those are parameters that basically, I'm just looking, what are those parameters that would give us instant feedback that would indicate that now we have something that's in service that was not in service before. We have something that's there that was dormant before. So basically getting that economic engine. And I assume that we have a number of whatever parameters can be identified from that. We have a track up. We have
the other question is, if you're just looking at jobs, I mean, Walmart, they're already coming. They're going to be building out of Battleground. So those jobs are already going to be coming. So there's our jobs that are already going to be coming. So how are we going to differentiate between those jobs that would have come anyway and those jobs that are coming based upon the fact that you've reduced these fees?
I expect that we only really have the comparison of what unfolds over the coming months and years versus what unfolded over the last couple months and couple of years. So it's just simply looking at a change in trend. If we see that we have a substantial increase, then I would think that would be a pretty good indicator, especially in the rest of the counties, the rest of the state. Maybe they're not following our lead. I expect that there's really fear on both sides. One, there's fear that it won't work, and so we'll have to end up we would have invested some of our general fund in a failed experiment. And the other fear is that it's too successful, and how in the world can the cities compete with that, because they're all building in the unincorporated areas of the county. There's two ends of the spectrum there, and we will not know the answer to that until we check month by month by month, at whatever parameters are provided for us, and that should give us some pretty good feedback.
So, Commissioner Madore, you've repeatedly linked this proposal to increase sales tax revenues to the county. I mean, that's something I've heard you talk about for many months now. And, you know, I hope it works out. That'd be fantastic. Although I would note that sales tax revenue historically is quite volatile. But you have linked this resolution to the impact on the county back to increased sales tax revenues. So I would hope that a core part of your measurement of success is going to be based on sales tax revenues coming to the county, and sales tax revenues coming to the county that are in excess of what the budget office with PhD and a lot of work has currently forecasted going forward.
It would be interesting history to unfold and see how it compares. To both the goal where no fool has gone before.
So, with that being said, are there other indicators or something else we should be looking at to measure adventure we go into?
Will you be looking at indicators of lost jobs for county employees if we have to cut budgets?
We don't plan on going that far. The only thing that we would look at there, and they're not lost jobs, and that was in the reorganization that we had a work group on today, and that was through attrition and the lean program, the reorg and cross training. But no, we don't plan on laying anybody off. And that's something I think would happen in the long term, too. My fear is that the cost of employment would be something that would draw or cause us to eliminate positions because of the cost of employment benefits would limit the number of employees that we could have.
I just want to point out, though, if someone were to start building today, they would be picked up in 2014 in new construction. So actually, that revenue, the extra revenue, property taxes wouldn't hit at least until the 2015 budget.
I think we'd experience the sales tax right away in the building material and the unemployment of all the people going to work in construction. And all the cost we would have of the concrete work. So there's a whole lot to it. And we experienced that in the building industry went down building homes. It was a carpet layer as well as a window layer.
Can you explain, I got a little confused here. If we, as Maine said, because we're going to be shifting, I don't know exactly what the dollar amount is now, but $1.8 to $3 million at one time they talked about it, and maybe with the road fund they have, this is not as great, I don't know, but that's still going to hit the general fund. And you know, it's most likely it will be people that will be having to be cut, whether it's
not likely.
So where would you get the money otherwise?
If we need money and we run into that problem, we'll probably stop the program.
Okay. So
we're not going to keep the program that I lay off people.
Okay. So you do have some type of threshold there, that's
something that we have to, between now and 11, we would be looking to develop. Sure. It's something that Commissioner Milkey has certainly talked about as far as some sort of trigger or cap or competential quarterly review.
And that's about any other measurement, anything else we should be looking at for indicators, we'd sure like to hear that.
We'd be happy to work with you more on what this measurement of success might look like for you.
That'd be awesome.
Great.
Appreciate that. All right. So we have about 5 minutes before we got to get to the rest of our business, so I'm going to go ahead and break this at this moment. Like I said, obviously, this is not the only opportunity for conversation. We have to be now on the 11th to be developing information. If there's information that you would like to see that you haven't yet, certainly we're working with staff individually to make sure that we have as much as possible going into the hearing. And so we'll make sure that you have it as well. And if there's other things we need to be thinking about, let us know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Of course. Yeah, find the work.
There's lots of ideas that they help me. Definitely, there are lots of ideas in there as far as the gate side. There's more
I don't know.